Luke chapter 2. This is a great text for us to be in, especially when we are on the edges of despair, pessimistic, feeling bad about ourselves. Have any impulse of negativity at all in your body, this is a great place for you to be this morning. I ask you to stand as we read from the Word of God from Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and following this wonderful historic story. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ," that's Messiah, "the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord. May He encourage hope in your heart this morning. Please be seated. Some of you remember that young boy who was beginning to get around school age, a bit too large for a baby crib. And yet, one night he climbed into the crib. He's thinking to himself that this crib is at the top of the stairway, and that makes it about 15 steps closer to the Christmas tree. And that means Christmas morning, I can get there sooner. I guess I was 6 or 7 at the time. And I think maybe some slats broke from the crib. But there was a spirit of expectation. I don't remember what I got that Christmas, but there was something that I was looking forward to. And I know that same spirit's in the hearts of many young people today as they think about the season, and in the hearts of all of us who know and remember what the story is all about. It brings with it not just the birth of a baby, but there's a birth of expectation in the air. There is some hope, something that may not be always clear to us, but we're looking and hoping that we're going to see something good coming our way. And what the story of Christmas tells us, that something good is coming. The angel brings a message. The angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Christmas comes and it gives birth to hope. And it's a wonderful story because it's a story rooted in time, space, and history, which is rooted in facts. And those facts bring reality, the reality of a hope that is sure. And the hope that it brings us particularly is, first of all, a hope that God will accept you. You come to church this morning, and or you go to work one morning, and you're just kind of living your life with a sense of doubt. I tell you, it's a great thought to know that God accepts you, that you are on the side of God, and God is on your side. Notice what he says for those of you who will believe it. Today in the town of David, verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior has been born to you. To put it in a very simple language, God has come to accept you. He's coming into the world to rescue you, to be on your side, to rescue you from all your smallest and greatest problems. Notice or remember what Matthew said in his wording in Matthew 1:20. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream and said to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins. The same story that Jesus was not named by Joseph or by Mary. It wasn't handpicked, the name Jesus. It was a name that was given to him by God, the name carried from God's throne through the hands of an angel and put on the lips of the parents, so that they would identify this child and all that he represented. He comes as Jesus to save us from our sins, to save us from judgment, to save you from worry, to save you from those things that would attempt to unravel your life, including the throne of God, where the judgment seat is, because of our disobedience to God. To put it again simply, Christmas brings us the birth of hope that God is now in the process of accepting us in this child, Jesus. How do we, or where do we find the basis for being accepted for God? It's a simple gospel story that you hear hopefully almost every Sunday here in one way or another. The way that you know you're accepted by God, that God has given birth to your acceptance, has to do with who it was that was born. And this child, as he grows up, unlike your children, if you have them, or unlike you when you were a child, in Luke 2:51 says, concerning the boy Jesus, he went to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. That'd be great, wouldn't it, if we could do that with our kids and our parents could have done that with us better. Hopefully they did a fairly good job. But in Jesus' case, he was obedient to his parents, and he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God. And the reason that Jesus won God's favor is because of his performance. He was a good boy. A good boy. And we forget that sometimes in the gospel. We go straight to the cross. And we forget to realize that what he offers up to God is the perfect life that satisfies God's demands. The kind of record that you need today and every Christmas. And moreover, John 14:31 puts it this way. Jesus said, the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. That's the lesson the world needs to learn. We need to learn it every day and refresh ourselves in it. That Jesus does exactly what His Father has expected of Him. And that begins to bring us hope. And moreover, part of His expectation was to go to that cross, to be born up, to bring tears into His mother's eyes, that just as Jesus would be pierced, Mary's own soul would be pierced, as it says in the Scripture. She would be in anguish, torn apart, as she sees her Son there from the foot of the cross. She sees Him taking the pains of hell and judgment that you deserve. And it tears her apart. But it brings us hope. A hope to know that how far that Christ would go to rescue us so that we might be acceptable to God. And I find especially encouraging when I think about acceptance from God that today a Savior has been born to you. Who was it historically that the message was being given to? They were living out in the fields at night, weren't they? Keeping watch over their flocks. At last night at the international dinner, I had a chance to present the gospel to the conversational English class, and I was trying to figure out what do you call shepherds, in case they don't know that. They're sheep workers. Sheep workers. Workers of sheep. And when you think about that, to me it's encouraging if you know anything about first century sheep workers. They were people of lowly stature in the eyes of society. They were would normally roam the hillsides. You know, that's what they did for a living, is roam from wherever I guess they could find grass, because the sheep just eats it right down, you know, pulls the roots out and everything. And they say that it was practically impossible for them to keep the ceremonial law because of the nature of their work. And they basically were considered not very religious, and especially not reliable people, had a bad reputation. In fact, they were considered so unreliable, the shepherds, that their testimony would be rejected in a court. How would you like to have that for reputation? And yet, who does the message come to? It says, an angel comes and I bring you good news of great joy. I tell you, folks, when you're feeling unacceptable, and you feel like you've got a bad reputation, and maybe just you know it between you and God, or maybe your neighbors know it too, it's great to know that the message came to some people who were considered unreliable. And he says, hey, I know you've proved yourself to be unreliable, but I bring you good news. I've got some great joy, which shall be for all the people, whoever's willing to believe it. That's the hope of Christmas. In Romans 15:7, Paul says to the Romans, he says, Christ has accepted you. Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Christ brings us the hope of a Savior who accepts us. And moreover, Christ brings us the hope that we will also be complete in God. You see, it's not just that it's not just the birth of a Savior who accepts you, but it's the birth of peace. God brings you the hope of acceptance, but also the hope that you will be made complete. Notice what he says in verse 14. Well, the angels at large say it here. They come and they declare this a wonderful message in the 14th verse. I'd like to read it for you. Suddenly, starting 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, and it's not just one angel here, but there are a host of heavenly hosts of them, and all these voices crying out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. Or traditionally, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But I want to focus here on the primary part of the message here of hope. The message comes from these angelical beings saying, here's what we're giving you. Here's what's being born in this child. Peace on earth. Now, I was reminded last night at the international dinner of a story I'd forgotten about. A wonderful story that goes back to 1914. And there the Brits and the Germans were going at it, fighting. And as they were fighting, one evening there was a soldier on guard duty, and he thought he heard somebody singing from the enemy side, and he quieted himself and noticed they were singing Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. And so the soldier began to sing back, Silent Night, Holy Night. And before long, there was the army had become a Christmas choir. And the British would sing one song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and then the Germans would reply back and sing O Tannenbaum. And it went on back and forth there in the middle of the war, and singing Christmas carols across the enemy lines. And hastily, it's a true story, the signs were scratched down, holding them up, Merry Christmas. A message across enemy lines. And the war stopped. And one weary, brave soldier, he actually managed to crawl across the barbed wire, or get beyond the barbed wire and get out into no man's land. And he took with him a can of sardines to give as a present to the enemy. And more soldiers began to join in from both sides. They were bringing bottles of wine and chocolates and cigarettes, and they shared pictures of their families. They talked together about their children. They sang some more songs, and the officers couldn't stop them. They didn't know what to do. the masses were just running out and just enjoying the celebration, Christmas Eve. And they played cards and even had a friendly game of soccer under the klieg lights. And so for one night, for one Christmas Eve, there was peace on earth. The angels, a multitude, says, we bring you peace. Peace on earth. Normally, when we think of peace in English, we think of really of the war that ceases. The ceasing of war, and certainly that's a part of it. These nations at war with one another. We also think of tranquility, of calmness, and certainly that's like peace of mind, and that's certainly a part of the message, that the hope that has come to you in the Christ child. The word really is related, it's Irene, or it's related to our female name Irene, which is kind of a alternate form of it. And it's a powerful word. And in one book that a man wrote just on the word peace, Dr. Gowan, he says it's the equivalent in Hebrew to the word shalom, essentially. That is, there's a certain completeness or a prosperity that is able to come to us, a wholeness in every area of life. There's a richness to the meaning in this word. And I guess as we try to understand what the hope is, what we're hoping here for, when we think about the birth of Jesus and the angel said, this has something to do with peace on earth. Perhaps just looking at one briefly at one Christmas hymn, we can get to it a little bit. When we sing Joy to the World, right? Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. And in the third verse it says, no more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes, why? He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. You see, when Christ comes to bring peace on earth, what he's essentially doing, he understands, God understands that when our parents rebelled, and chose poorly in the Garden of Eden, and we've all chosen poorly in one way or another since then. But ever since our parents fell, there's been a curse that we live under. And everyone's born into the world, in a cursed world. It's a kind of a negative way to put it, Christmas time, but that's the reality. And that's the backdrop for finding the relief. There's a curse between you and God. God is angry with you. God is angry at the earth for rebelling against Him. And we are under this curse. We're born under it. And we need relief. The way that we know we're under the curse is because we'd all die. We all have pain. You know, I fell down on the ice, and it's a wonder I didn't get some stitches in my hand here just the other day. Wasn't even doing anything bad. Just in a hurry to do something nice, actually, for occasion. But, you know, so we have these things that come at us, and it's just part of what the way we are. We have these thorns that have pressed their way upon us, between us and God, between us and our neighbors, between us and ourselves. We're divided within ourselves. We're not in our right mind, you know. We just feel divided, and we can't kind of keep it together. Nation against nation, as we mentioned. And so Jesus is born essentially to bring us peace. He's come to take the thorns out, if you will, one by one, in every area where you hurt. He wants to remove it. He wants to restore it from the fillings in your teeth to the relationship with you and someone you've gone astray with, or to your broken bones. He wants to fill it all up, to make it complete once again in marriage, in every way. And really, if you want to try to get to this concept of peace on earth, it takes into a whole broader approach where we would come. Christ comes to bring us, if you will, paradise. As He said in to the thief on the cross, today you shall be with me in paradise. Or if you want to say He's come to give us heaven, He's come to bring utopia. In John, He says, my Father's house, there are many mansions. If you want to talk about it in terms of the place that Christ has gone to prepare for us, He's come to give us heaven on earth. The New Jerusalem in Revelation 21. Reconciliation is what He's come to do for us in the book of Romans. But here the angel calls it simply peace on earth. You see, there's a new heavens and it's a new earth that's coming for those of you who will believe it. Those of you who are hoping and longing and praying the Lord's Prayer and understand what you're praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we long for. And that's what gives us the strength to keep pressing on. If you will, it's none other than the gospel itself. As He says in Acts 10:36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Paul opens his letters typically with this wish for peace, grace and peace to you. From God our Father. What's He saying? I want God's undeserved favor to rest upon you until it brings you to a place of completion. And that's what we long for. And that's what Paul wishes for us. And that's the message that is ours, brought through the angels, a message of peace. As he says in Romans 16:20, the wonderful verse to memorize, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And you see the beginnings of it in the birth of this Christ child. In Revelation, Jesus put it this way, Mary's son declared these words, behold, I'm making all things new. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, said John, for that first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be their God and be with them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning, or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down. Aren't you glad he did that? Or said that? Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he says to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who participate in magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. For those who believe, those of us who are willing to turn from our sins, from those things which displease us, God, we find the hope for renewing our relationship with God, being accepted by Him. We find in the birth of Christ not only our acceptance by God, but we find the hope of being complete and living in a complete world. For those who believe, we find the hope of something greater in the birth of Jesus Christ. And just kind of as we give you a couple of things to take away with you practically. For those of you who believe the Christmas story, you should have a skip in your step. There should be a skip in your step. And I think the way you go through life kind of measures how deep your hope is in Christ. Notice he says in verse 16, that the shepherds, they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. You see, there was something that they believed was true about this baby, and they were just so excited to go and see it for themselves. They had to run, and just to find out what it was all about. And notice also that verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And this is a great story for you as you begin to lose hope, you begin to become discouraged, you get impatient with people. You know, those thorns press in you deep. Sometimes you get some calls this week for some people, and it's like, you know, do you even know God? I mean, is He alive? Has He done anything for you? Sometimes we get so despairing, and the burden is heavy. But folks, don't lose sight of this amazing story. Ponder it. Store it away. Treasure it up in your heart. Because there it begins to put a skip in your walk. And you begin to soon find that, you know, the Lord gives strength to the weary and power to the faint as we renew our hope in Christ. Ponder anew the Christmas story. Feed upon it often, this season especially, because it gives birth to an eternal hope. It gives birth that, hey, look, God's accepting you in Christ. And everything else is going to work itself out. You just need to know God's on your side. He's running the universe. And for a while, you got to hurt. But He's coming, and He's coming in the Christ child, and He accepts you. And moreover, you know, folks, these thorns aren't going to last forever. That He's given you an eternal hope. He's given you the promise of not only a Savior who accepts you, but He's given you the promise of peace on earth, where the world will one day be all right. And so we can hang in there, keep looking to Christ. As disclosed for this little image, so that you can take this sermon away with you, this text, I've seen a bumper sticker similar to this. It says, No Christ, no hope. N-O Christ, N-O hope. But if you know Christ, K-N-O-W, then you K-N-O-W. No hope. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that in knowing Jesus Christ, born for us, that we know by faith that we are accepted by God. And Lord, thank You that we also know that we have the hope of looking for a better world to come. Increase our joy. Increase our faith in your Son. Increase our hope that we might rejoice truly by faith in your wonderful gift, Jesus Christ. Amen.